sustainability can be so holistic. There's so many nuances to it. There's so much information to it, you know, and it's not only about CO2 footprint. I think also in that space, you know, you have to sometimes still take the time or the extra little bit of energy to educate people on why something is now a more sustainable option than something else.
Welcome to Future Strategies. I'm your host, Florian Schleicher. And this show is my gift to you. In honest conversations with inspiring marketing leaders, we explore how marketing and strategies can achieve sustainable growth. If you would like to apply this to your own projects, that's exactly what I do as a strategist, coach, and workshop facilitator. I'm here to help you build the marketing of your futures. So let's jump right into it. I've been especially looking forward to this episode. Verena Kitowski is leading the customer journey and channel marketing teams at Fairphone, a social enterprise that is leading the market for sustainable and ethical electronics. In her role, she is responsible for strategies that aim to support customers in using their products longer. Before joining Fairphone in Amsterdam, she was part of the founding team of an electric car company in Sweden and has experience with early stage impact startups. It's so great to have you with me here today, Verena. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So let's start with the basics. What is Fairphone and how did this company start to exist?
Yeah, so Fairphone, we make smartphones, in short, the most ethical and sustainable smartphones that are in the market today. We're based in Amsterdam. Fairphone was founded in Amsterdam as well. But the story is quite unusual because Fairphone actually started as an awareness campaign back in 2010. There was really a big issue with what is called conflict minerals in the industry. Conflict minerals are used or were used in a lot of electronics materials. So the founder, Bas van Abel, started with wanting to raise awareness about this. And out of that, actually, a few years later, then Fairphone was founded really as a business, as a social enterprise. That's what we are still today. And really, the aim is to show the industry that you can make a smartphone more ethically and sustainable and still be a profitable business.
Before we dive a little bit deeper into what Fairphone is doing and why you are addressing a huge problem also, I would also love to understand, what do you do in your role leading the customer service and marketing team?
Yeah, so my role is basically a split. On the one hand, I'm leading the channel marketing team, and there we focus actually on all the marketing activities that we have with our commercial partners across Europe. So it's very acquisition focused. And on the other side, I'm leading the customer journey team, and there we focus a lot on customer experience, on retention, and on brand engagement, you know, during the time that customers use our products. So there it's a lot more focused on customer satisfaction, I would say.
Okay. So about Fairphone, you mentioned that there is a lot of problem with the resources in the industry. For those who are listening and think, wait, why is there a problem? So what's the problem with smartphones?
There's a very simple calculation that everyone can use to like make the problem more visible. Every year, about 1.5 billion phones get sold per year in the world. We actually have more phones in the world than people at this point. They only get used about 2 to 3 years. That's still the average lifespan. So some people, and in some countries, it's expanding, but on average, still 2 to 3 years. And then only 20% of the phones get recycled after use, and the others end up most of the time in drawers. And if you add up those three data points, let's say, then you really see that, in the smartphone world, circularity basically doesn't exist. And all of the raw materials that are in the phone, they actually stay in the phone, you know, stay in drawers. And there's a big need for constantly sourcing new raw materials. And the raw materials that are in phones are many times sourced under very inhumane and bad working conditions. All of them, but there are really a lot of different materials in a phone, and you can that have a very long and complex supply chain. You know, so really from the mining to the refining, a lot of these processes take a lot of energy. You know, I always like to visualize it as you have to turn a stone and a mineral into something you know, that's basically a mini computer, takes a lot of energy throughout this process. And that's what, that's where really the entire supply chain and smartphones, electronics in general, is actually very far from being a circular product.
Yeah, I've heard that e-waste or electronic waste is the world's fastest growing waste stream at the moment.
Yes.
And we have an estimated 50 million tons of electronic waste that is produced every year, which weighs more than all commercial airliners ever made. And just as you mentioned, 20% of that waste is recycled.
Yeah. And it's really a big... Yeah, it's a big problem. And if you think about it, you know, like buying a new TV, buying a new phone, buying new headphones, you know, it's such a fast purchase. People don't even think about it anymore. And nobody is really equipped or educated or maybe willing to repair those things. You know, in the past, you know, maybe you still know from your parents when the washing machine broke, you know, there were companies specialized on coming to repair. And these days, usually, the cost for the repair is so much higher than actually just buying the new one. And that is also part of the problem, that things are not repairable anymore and it's not affordable enough to repair electronics.
Yeah. And apart from not being able to repair it or that there are no more experts about this, there's this thing called planned obsolescence, which is basically that producers plan that the product breaks down mostly after 2 years, because in the EU we have a warranty up until 2 years. So then the product breaks down and then unfortunately you have to buy a new one, or if you can find someone who can repair it, of course. So I have currently this issue with my TV screen. I think I bought it 5-6 years ago. And now I see there is a line where the pixels are just not working anymore. So I called customer support, of course, and I said, okay, what can we do about this? And they said, basically, it costs you less if you just buy a new TV set, which feels super irresponsible and not sustainable at all.
Yeah.
So now that we know that the electronics industry and especially smartphone industry has a big problem, what are you at Fairphone doing about this? What is your thing that you work on?
Yeah, so it's really we have different impact areas, as we call them. So we really try to solve these problems along the entire life cycle of the phone. So one part is, of course, the mining sector, raw materials, where do things come from, who's impacted, you know, who actually are the people in the mines working on sourcing those materials. That's one of our impact areas, because we know that it will take decades to really move to a fully circular market where we have, where all the materials get recycled on a continuous basis. That will realistically, you know, yeah, it will take decades to get there. So in the meantime, we have to improve working conditions, you know, in the mining sector, and especially in the artisanal mining, so where people are really working, you know, with their hands and with minimal equipment. That's one of our areas. The other is then to improve working conditions in the final assembly lines. You know, we actually assemble, like, the big majority of electronics gets assembled in China. So we also actually work there with our manufacturers. And then what is a big part of actually solving the problem is that our products are fully repairable. So we actually, our products, and that's the phones, but also our headphones, they're designed in a fully modular way. And with that, we really want to bring back this repairability that we just talked about, and actually making it easy for everybody to do those repairs at the kitchen table, basically. You know, all you need is a standard screwdriver, and, you know, there's a few screws, and you can replace your phone screen, as an example, which is a repair that, again, many times is causing people to buy a new phone, because replacing a broken screen, right? Everybody knows the Spider app. Yeah, basically, it can cost a lot of money. Mm. And that's what we really try to tackle on the customer side, that you can do this in an affordable and super easy way at home.
That sounds all amazing. And now I would like to play devil's advocate a little bit, because you just mentioned the typical smartphone is replaced every 2 to 2.5 years. You give out a 5-year warranty. Users can repair the phone with 10 modular spare parts. you give up to 10 years software updates, which is also unheard of. So, and I've seen multiple reports, your smartphone is the most sustainable one out there. So why is it not also the most used smartphone out there?
That's a very nice challenge, actually. Indeed. I think there's a few things that come together here. So one is actually that we are tiny in a market of giants. You know, I mean, really from a brand perspective, you know, we are still quite an unknown brand. There's a lot of money, a lot of advertising money in this space. You know, I mean, Apple and Samsung, of course, dominate the market by far. And then there are some other big brands. But it's a game of size. There is also, of course, a level of, in the end, as a small manufacturer, you know, there's a lot of economies of scale at hand where, you know, when we knock on the door of a supplier for displays, for example, or, you know, a specific supplier, of course, we don't have the same economies of scale there. So also our price point, you know, is maybe a bit different than for the big established manufacturers. Yeah, and I think people also need to build trust to a brand. You know, the smartphone specifically is the most used product in your daily life.
Absolutely.
You know, people really depend on their phone. And of course, we also have to do a lot there to grow the trust that people really decide for quite an unknown brand rather than going with an established brand. They know how it works. You know, they know where they can find support. And of course, for an unknown brand like Fairphone, we actually have to do quite a lot more work here to convince people.
That brings us actually to the marketing side and the brand side. So what is it? Where do you put most of your marketing resources and where does your team put the most focus on to get you there and build this reputation, the trust?
Yeah, I think we focus a lot on building the trust on the one hand, you know, through PR work, to actually, you know, formats where we can really tell our story and really, you know, raise awareness. Because I always like to say, you know, if you don't know what's unfair about the industry, you also don't know why you should choose fair. And this is also, you know, we also have quite an education work to do sometimes to make ourselves relevant. We also, of course, try to grow trust, through things like reviews, you know, that we publish super transparently. You know, we ask our existing customer base for feedback and implement and actually action a lot of the feedback. Yeah, we of course try to advertise as well a bit where it's relevant and where it's possible. And in the end, we also try to work with our customers and try for them to speak about Fairphone and really use their word of mouth, you know, in telling their friends and family about the phone that they use. Yeah.
When you were talking about the problem that you need to talk about, there is this quote, I think it's from David Ogilvy, but I have to check, which was, if you talk about fire extinguishers, start with talking about fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
You first need to figure out and talk about the problem before you can communicate a solution.
Yeah.
Do you find it easy to talk about this problem? Because probably people don't like to hear about problems. If you say to them, hey, your smartphone actually causes problems, not something nice to say. So what is a good way of getting this problematic message across and then building on that with, hey, but there is a solution to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you really touch a good point here because it's really a challenge that we have. You know, there's some really... horrible things, you know, things like child labor or armed conflicts, you know, in the supply chains. And indeed, this is not something, you know, I mean, yeah, we do talk about it, but the format is important here. And you do want to keep it positive as well. And in that sense, so we always have this baseline of being positive and not pointing fingers too much, but rather setting good examples and rather showing what we do, what consumers can do, also what other players in the industry can do, you know, to actually change something. Yeah, I would say that's it. And one of the things, to give a concrete example, you know, we always say also to consumers, the most sustainable phone is actually the one they already have. You know, it's really the most sustainable choice is always to just use longer what you already have. And as long as it's working fine, you know, don't buy something new. And also in that case, don't buy a new smartphone, you know. And so we try to really make people think a bit, you know, in general also about the purchase decisions they make.
Yeah, makes sense. There, I also saw there was an advertisement by a clothing company, and they also wrote that the most sustainable piece of clothing is none at all. And there is this one clothing company, Reformation. They are producing high fashion in a more sustainable way. And they have this claim, being naked is number one in sustainability. We are number two, which is also, I think, a nice take on this.
Yeah, indeed.
In terms of messaging, so you kind of have three main messages. You're communicating about sustainability, you're communicating about fairness, and then durability. Which one do you focus on the most? Which one is easiest to get across and to get people's attention on?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it really depends a little bit on the audience, because there is an audience that is very much focused on, let's say, the planet, you know, and like any topics that relate to climate change or to natural destruction, for example. But there is also an audience who is very much focused on human rights, for example, and, you know, and working conditions globally. So it depends a bit on the audience. And then we do also have an audience who is much more interested in repairability and a bit the techie parts, you know, transparency behind our products, because we do also publish, for example, the schematics of our phones, which is unheard of, you know. So, but that also, again, increases the option for repairability for the people who are more skilled on that level. So that is, but that is a bit more of a techie topic, I would say. So it depends a little bit on the audience. And we also try to adjust slightly based on the audience, you know, what we highlight more, basically.
And do you then segment the audiences via the channels, or how do you get in touch with the techies more and then maybe with the human rights activists another time?
Yeah, I mean, we try to find the balance, but we do switch a bit based on channels. For example, on TikTok, you know, it's a little bit lighter content, a bit more lifestyle, a bit more indeed the repairability, because it's very visual and you can show it easily. We have a community forum, for example, where, you know, that is fully, actually, it's hosted by us, but it's completely run by community members. And that is where some of the more techie people, let's say, and tech interested people like to engage. Yeah, so it depends a bit on the channel.
Yeah, makes sense. Something else I wanted to ask you, because last autumn, there was a lot of talk about Apple and their sustainability campaign, a huge spot with Octavia Spencer as Mother Earth. What did you think of their move to shift to sustainability as a marketing strategy and the green marketing space? And second, what were your thoughts on the ads per se?
Yeah, so I think it's really in the wording of your question, because it's a marketing strategy, right? And for us, it's, you know, sustainability and making a more ethical product. It's not a marketing strategy. It's really, you know, at the core of our business. I mean, we have, for example, we are responsible towards our shareholders, you know, for sales figures and being financially healthy. But we are actually in the same way also responsible for our impact goals. For example, how many ethical materials do we have, or fair materials, as we call them? How long do our customers keep their phones? How many people in our supply chain benefit from our products? And how much electronic waste do we collect and add back to the waste, to the recycling stream? So these are the KPIs that, yeah, we actually audit fully, and we are fully responsible for. We publish it in the same way as we publish financial results. So, you know, it's so implemented in all of our governance structures and our way of working. And it's not only a marketing strategy. So I would really say that's really the core of the difference. And many times we find that we have so much to say about all these different topics that it's almost a challenge to go back down to what is really now the message we want to put in our advertisement, because typically we have so much to say about the different elements of sustainability.
Yeah. I think focus is a huge point in marketing always. Like, marketing has to be simple.
Yeah.
People's lives are already full of information and attention spans get lower and lower. So our job is really to keep it simple for them, because of course we want to communicate as brands a lot to them, but they don't want to hear a lot about us.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to draw a fine line and see what you can really get across. Coming back to the Apple spot, the technicalities I would leave aside, but what I think what it achieved was it showed an industry that sustainability is an important topic. Because Apple, they play a huge role in the market, simply in terms of market share. And they showed everyone, okay, this topic is important and we're doing something and we can argue about something there. But I think that's what was important with this campaign in terms of sustainability angle. Because what we see is that, and that's maybe also part of the problem that sustainability has at the moment, there is so much talk about sustainability. And 90% of consumers say they are ready to change to a more sustainable lifestyle. And then only 10% change, actually. We see that in the sustainability reports where the companies publish, we're doing a great job here, we're having these initiatives. And then when you look at their CO2 emissions and their footprint, it's huge. Do you think sustainability as itself has an image problem and that it's too much talking and not so much action?
Yeah, I think that one way to look at it, yes. It has more of an educational problem, you know, because sustainability can be so holistic. There's so many nuances to it. There's so much information to it, you know, and it's not only about CO2 footprint. You know, I mean, yeah, that's one important part of it, but it's really not everything. And I think, you know, as consumers, it can be also quite overwhelming. And you want to, as you said before, right, you have to make so many choices and you already get so much information. You also kind of rely on companies being transparent and explicit about what is really not the sustainable benefit of their products. And I think also companies have to learn that. I mean, that's also skill sets, you know, how do you make claims for, you know, or so-called green claims, and how do you do that? There's actually now slowly coming more and more legislation is coming in this market also to avoid greenwashing. You know, I want to give the benefit of the doubt that sometimes also in companies, they just lack the knowledge and the experience on these topics.
Mm.
So I think there's really on the consumer side, on the company side, yeah, there's a lot there to catch up on and to make these things more clear, and that it doesn't feel like it's only talking, but that there's actually, you know, a bit of substance to such claims in marketing campaigns.
Yeah. And talking about marketing campaigns, I think marketing, it was definitely one of the factors that brought us into the climate crisis.
Yeah.
But I think it can also play a huge role in getting us out of there, because in the end, marketing changes people's behavior and we can change it also for better. So I would also be curious about what does sustainability mean for you as a marketeer, as someone who advertises? How do you do that in a sustainable and conscious way that you don't manipulate people?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. And it's also something that we debate a lot internally about, you know, because when it really comes to advertising, of course, you have to grab people's attention and you have very limited time and you have to kind of stand out of all the noise that people have in their daily life. I would say where we try to then really be transparent and be relevant after also the first clicks, right? Like, so on our website, you know, once you are actually interested, once we have your interest, you know, we really want to give you the full story and explain properly, you know, what our products are solving and, you know, what are actually the unique things about it. So of course you kind of have to get the first click and you kind of have to get the attention first, but we are extremely, yeah, transparent actually also about what we claim, and we always try to be, you know, quite relevant also, for example, in our email campaigns, you know, to always make sure that we don't advertise or, you know, push at all new products to people when we know they already bought one of our products. You know, that's one of our principles, for example, when we talk about customer base campaigns. Yeah, so we always keep it in mind to not create too many call of actions for making a new purchase when we know they just bought a product a year ago and we rely on that product still being in good shape and, you know, and working fine.
Yeah. And you already touched upon, like, transparency is very important in sustainable communications. You talked about authenticity. What else would you say if another brand now comes across and say, hey, we have sustainability as the core of our business strategy, but we have trouble in getting it across? What would you recommend them focusing their communication and their marketing about?
Yeah, I mean, I would still focus on talking about the problem you're solving, right? Which for some people, the problem is that they cannot find a more sustainable choice on the market, for example. In the context of smartphones, yeah, there's a lot of products to choose from, all kind of price categories, all kind of technical specs. But yeah, what people might be missing, yeah, is actually guidance on what's the most sustainable product, if that's what they find important. So I would really consider more sustainable choice as actually a consumer benefit, and to really try to use it in our like established way of talking about consumer benefits. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I get it. I have a bunch more questions about Fairphone, but as we're already very advanced in the timing, I would like to switch to the three final questions, and maybe we can talk about the other questions another time.
Yeah.
So first question is, what is good marketing to you in just three words?
I would say relevance, to really only approach people when you know they're in the market for a new product. Transparency, to really check your claims, you know, no greenwashing, especially in the space of more sustainable solutions, and being educational. I think also in that space, you know, you have to sometimes still take the time or the extra little bit of energy to educate people on why something is now a more sustainable option than something else.
Yeah, I love educational. I think that's a word that nobody has phrased so far here on the show. I think the tricky part about education is nowadays in the era of TikTok, it needs to be entertaining, because nobody, or at least you won't reach masses with some dry educational part.
Yeah.
Any things you did there that were combining this educational and entertaining part that you want to share?
Yeah, I think in our case, you know, to actually show, you know, how easy something can be repaired with a simple screwdriver, for example, is a very simple way of doing that. And also always using examples, like we always say that, you know, if you bought a bike and you couldn't repair it, would be shocking, right? Nobody would accept that. But then on electronics, we all accept it, that you can't even replace your battery. So, you know, to also maybe use kind of a bit examples with a blink of an eye, you know, with a bit of a funny comparison. Yeah, I think that's one way to go there.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good example. Also with the bike, drawing these analogies to help us understand what's actually wrong in the market.
Yeah.
Next question. What is the future of marketing?
Yeah, I would say it's a mix of actually having more circular business models. So not only considering, you know, that as a marketing strategy, but actually having to market more circular business models, which are usually service, you know, need a bit more service design, or actually need a bit more service thinking. And on the other hand, being held accountable much more by, you know, legislation, but actually also I think consumers who are getting more and more aware in general and asking more and more questions. So I think that that's really big elements in the future of marketing.
Okay. Before we go to the last question, the personal one, I have another personal question for you, which is, I talk to a lot of sustainability people, and most of them, they have like a point where they decide, okay, I want to be part of a more sustainable world, and I want to use my energies for that. Did you have such a moment in your career when you decided, okay, you want to do something good with the time that you have and not just bring a big corporation the next big revenue?
Yes, I had that. But I actually had that already during my studies, because I studied business psychology for advertisement and brand psychology. And there you, and you know, in those studies, then I really, really understood, okay, why is this world in such a shitty place, to put it a bit black and white, right? And because then when you really understand how marketing and advertisement what impact that has on decision making. And I think you even said it before, right? Like some people say, if it wouldn't be for marketing, the world could be quite different. Mm. And that was also a bit the insight and the mindset shift that I had during my studies. So for me, it was clear from the beginning that I would never want to work, you know, for a brand or a corporate where I can't really stand behind the products they sell and how they sell it.
Yeah. I think for me, like I was drawn to those big brands. Like I worked for McDonald's for 2 years, probably because capitalism got the better of me. And I was like, oh, this is a fascinating brand. And it, I still find it fascinating as a brand. I just wouldn't work for them anymore.
Yeah.
And for me, it was being on vacation. I was in Australia for 4 months and then seeing the scenery. There is just landscape everywhere, endless roads. And then you have plastic bottles and cans on the side. And I really got frustrated. And that's when I thought, okay, maybe it's time to contribute in a better way for a future.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah, I hope, and I really hope that more people, you know, see that a bit over time and actually also early in their career are not afraid, you know, to make such a choice to maybe work for a smaller, less unknown brand with a marketing background rather than going to the big brands where I think there is a lot there to catch up for most of them. Yeah. That's what I would wish for, actually, also to your audience, right? I hope there's a lot more people who would take maybe what is still considered a bit the courageous choice, you know, to go to an unknown brand. Because, of course, as a marketeer, that's not really what you signed up for. But I really think you can use your 40 hours or more per week, you know, in the best possible way.
Yeah. And I think we already see that change happening over industry. I've read that 1/3 of all Gen Y and Gen Z actually decline job offers if the sustainability strategy is not a fit for their values. So we see that. And I had a discussion with a client, a big company, like old business. And they're doing a lot of sustainability projects at the moment because also they understand they need to change, because otherwise they will have a problem on the HR side first and then probably later on the consumer side. Yeah. So I think it's going in the right direction. Question is only, is it fast enough?
Yes. Let's hope so.
So final question, Verena. What book have you recently read that you would like to recommend here?
It's the book Rutger Bregman. That's a Dutch historian. It's called Humankind or Humankind, Humankind. It's a bit of a wordplay, but it's about, yeah, he wants to actually show that, you know, all humans are at the core of it, kind and good. It's not a very light read, I have to give a heads up, but it's super interesting and I think paints a very optimistic picture.
Yeah, I like that book a lot. Thanks for sharing it here. All right, Verena, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope we get to speak soon again. And I hope that Fairphone will continue its success journey to change the industry. So thanks for sharing all your insights. And yeah, look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the invitation.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please give me a rating and a review. This means the world to me, as I really pour my heart into the production and the interviews with those brilliant minds. If you are looking for an easy way to learn strategic marketing, check out the Simple and Sustainable Marketing Academy, where I share the basics of strategic and sustainable marketing in an online live setting. You can also sign up to my inspiring newsletter, where I deliver valuable thoughts to your inbox on how to achieve sustainable growth. I promise you will like it. And if you want to get in touch and find out more about me and my projects, just have a look at the links in the show notes or find me on Instagram and LinkedIn at Florian Schleicher. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to sharing more with you in the next episode.